The GAA program with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Gia Vargas Falcher, Ashka, Gian Clark, coming Luke, Glass, Gale, and a shock then with me, Tom Comack, a special extended edition tonight because we're coming to you live from Chalk Vicky in Derrybeggan, Gweedore. The occasion, of course, is ahead of the All Ireland Club semi final, where Gweedore, the local team here, the Donegal and Ulster champions, will face All Ireland champions Cora Finn from Galway. A big crowd anticipated. It'll be last one out on Friday evening, put out the lights. And I'm delighted here to be joined by Joe Diver, as I said before the break, and also by Alan Boyd. And Alan was given a verdict. But Alan, on a more somber note, we cannot come here to Gweedore this week, but recall what was a very tragic occasion a couple of weeks ago, and the tragic death of Micheál Rorty, one of your players. I think it'd be only right that we mention him, and certainly it cast a dark cloud over the parish and the next parish as well, with the death of John Harley, Daniel Scott and Sean Harkin.
Absolutely. Declan up at the bar there, Declan Ferry there would have helped him manage the reserve team this year, and Micheál was a member of that team and played for us most days then, and then had broken back into the seniors. In fact, I heard he was training on the Saturday, and the night of the tragedy happened, so we would have been
the night before the tragedy,
and we've been expecting to see him on the Sunday. So it's tough on everybody, particularly the family and the area and the club, and to the two other guys in our neighbouring parishes. It's just something you don't believe that it can happen, but it did. So hopefully the lads, I'm sure, will be remembering him on Saturday, and they'll be playing for him. There's no doubt about that, to honour his name.
Yeah, and because he was close with the player. He was a very good footballer. He played minor football for the county.
He was an excellent footballer, He didn't know really his own ability. Other people talked about him rather than him himself. He didn't realise the potential he had, but he was an excellent player, left footer. He had a lovely left foot. And he should be here today, but he's not, unfortunately. So, as I said, I hope...
It's cast a dark shadow. Joe Diver, it has...
I would like to add to that. Micheál is a relation of mine, and I would like to add to it. He was a great character, and he was good among the lads. Mm. Even when he wasn't playing with the senior team, he was always with them, because they all liked his character, and we miss him.
Yeah.
And sympathies to the family in Dunleavy. We are all... The other three lads as well. They were a great unit together, the four of them.
Yeah.
And
it's a wild blow to an area.
Wild blow.
And I know he was especially close, I think, to Warren McNeillis, wasn't he?
He was. Well, the other lads were no better than me, but you've seen him a lot, but there's three or four there you always seen together.
Yeah.
So it does affect them, and as you say at the time, it does set you back, because it affects young people, even though you think they're oblivious to that, but they're not. It does affect them when things like that happen, and hopefully they'll turn it around now for him, and I'm sure they will.
Certainly it is. But anyway, Alan, we're back to trying to get you to get a verdict on what you thought was going to happen on Saturday, and no sitting on the fence is allowed.
Listen, the surprise is all along, through the Ulster campaign. We took every game as it came, and there's no doubt it's the same this Saturday, but as I said, it's a step up, and I'm no doubt the boys will face the challenge. There are a lot of things that can go wrong, a decision, wrong hop of the ball. They say the pitch wasn't in great shape last week, but with the dry weather this week, we hope that it's fit for playing and fit for a good game, because it's the same for both teams, so we all like to see a good game, and hopefully they can pull it off. I know it's a 50-50 game. Some people say Cora Finn are favourites, but they won't like that. We wouldn't like to be favourites, but I'm hopeful
that
we can pull it off and make another stage. And funny, it's a dream. And Oran McNeillis' father, Donal, always did that dream. I remember him saying 20 years ago when he talked to the lads, who you want to be is an All-Ireland club final. And I never thought, in all my 50 years in the club, I thought, this is never going to happen. So here we are, one match away. It's only them thoughts come back into your head again.
Joe Diver, is it too early to dream of stepping out on Croke Park?
Well, I have great confidence in this team, not alone the team. I think one of the things we have with this is the whole panel. It's the strongest panel I ever saw in Gweedore. Any one of the subs, you can bring them in and guaranteed that you can get 100% from them. The other thing that I admire about them, go down to Marigallen days there when there's no training and you'll find a few of those young lads down there training. There's great spirit in the team. And I'm delighted to get to the All-Ireland semi-final. And I have great confidence in this team. There might be a surprise this Saturday.
And well, I'm delighted to see, you know, we're heading actually to Corofin, to deep into enemy territory, because we found a Donegal man there. I think, unfortunately, he has switched over to the colours of Corofin. Paul McGettigan, good night to you.
Good night. Is that the Joe Diver that I hear there on the line? It is indeed.
Well, listen. How are you, Paul?
Joe, listen, it's great to hear you. And you know something, I'm so proud of what you guys have done. It's just amazing. Like, I've been listening to Gouldy for years and years and years talking about the spirit and Gidor and about the great teams they had and everything else. And I thought I'd never see the day because, as you know, back in the 70s and the 80s and indeed in the 90s, I mean, you just weren't there. And between soccer and between the lack of rivalry with yourselves and Dunlow and whatever the hell else happened, it was just awful to see what was really the bedrock, the place that produced county footballer after county footballer just sort of disintegrating and not being there and not contributing. I think it was probably Neely Gallagher and Anton Carroll were the only two lads until Cassidy stepped up to the mark. And that's a lifetime of a difference in years, you know. So it's just wonderful to see you back. And you know something, you beat Letterkenny in September, and I knew at that stage you'd come out of the county. Before that game, you weren't given a chance, and I couldn't understand why, because you have some fantastic footballers. I mean, Lord save us, young Whale there, those three goals he got, just amazing, of course, we know about the McGees, and we know about Cassidy, and then you have Kane Mulligan and McNeilis, and Jesus, like, it's just wonderful. And then my Francie Charlie, you know, Joe, was a great, great pal of mine. To see his son Michael there too is just wonderful, you know. So it's a fairy tale. You weren't given a chance against Cross McGlen. No one gave you a chance in the county, and you went out and did the business. Scotstown thought there were odds on to win it. Anyone you talked to from that neck of the woods were saying this was Scotstown's title, and you went out and you beat them after extra time. Wonderful, wonderful achievement, and playing good football, and fully, fully merited it. There's nothing soft about it. And what I love about the whole thing is that you did what we did in 98, you went back and you brought back guys that had retired and you brought them back into the fold. A super management team. And I don't know them, but just looking from the sidelines and to see what you did was just wonderful. And it's just great to see Kevin Cassidy being a part of it. I was disgusted the way that lad was treated for the service he had given Donegal and what he had contributed to the cause. And it's just great to see him back in a Gidor team winning an Ulster title. And make no mistake about it, the boys in Corofin have great, great respect for you. And before I say any more, listen, can I say this? Because I was asked to say it specifically, if I was talking to anybody in Donegal in the media or anything else, was to extend their sympathies in relation to that tragedy. It has moved people all over the country, and particularly in Corofin, we're a close-knit parish, and we know what it is to be, to be a close-knit parish, and we know the loss when any young lad. We've had our tragedies over the years, and it has affected everybody. So, listen, please accept our sympathies there to everybody concerned, the families and the friends and their mates and their buddies and their, you know, the teammates and so on and so forth. It's just awful.
Paul, tell us about your own experiences of playing Gidor.
Well, listen, when I played, we seldom ran up against Gidor in the championship. I would have played them at different stages in league matches and so on and so forth, but seldom in the championship. My father, of course, tells plenty of stories about boys like Barney Coyle and Huey Tim and Red Mickey and Willie Gallagher and so on and so forth. I seem to know more of those lads. But in my time, it was sort of only McBride, and it was Neely and Ant and Carl and so on and so forth. Listen, Gador were always hard, and they played it fair, and they could play football, and they were virtually impossible to beat down in Maharagallan, even the worst day ever. You know, so the thing is, there's great pride in that parish. There's great commitment. I think it goes with the whole, the Irish language and everything else. I mean, Gaelic football is an expression of just our culture, and it was always a hard place to go, no doubt about that. But it was awful to see year after year that they were in the doldrums, and it's just wonderful, as I say, to see them back. I think everybody in the county is delighted to see them back. And you know something, they're back for a number of years if they can keep it together. I mean, Gador, like a lot of West Donegal, was crucified with immigration, and particularly to Scotland and America and places like that, and they had no chance. So it's, from that point of view, it's just wonderful to see a West Donegal team, no more than West Mayo and indeed West Galway, the same thing. You know, I mean, wonderful players, great talents, but when they were 19 and 20, it was the boat or taking flight. You know, so it's great to see lads staying around.
And tell us, Paul, tell us a little bit of Corrafin. Where exactly in Galway is Corrafin?
Well, Corrafin is between, it's a rural parish between Galway City and Tuam. It's a big parish now. It's on both sides of the main road there. You should travel from probably Clare Galway almost to Tuam. So it's a big parish that has benefited, I suppose, over the years with the expansion of Galway, because people can't afford to buy in Galway, so they go into they buy in Corrafin. Although the strange thing about it, Tom, is for all the strangers that have moved in there, they're not throwing any footballers as such. The footballers are coming from the indigenous crew that have been there all their lives, you know. So it's a very interesting phenomenon that housing.
And it's a relatively new club, isn't it?
No. Corrafin has been around for I think it was way back in the, back in the 40s or 50s? It's a club that's made up of two half parishes. And as I say, it extends from Corrafin almost into Tuam. But strangely enough, for a parish of its size, they'd only won three county titles up to 1977. And from then on, they have won, I think it's 21 titles now. And 20 titles they've won, I think. And three of those up to 1977. So there are about 17 titles that have come in the meantime. But I was asked a number of years ago by Jerry McEntee up in St. Margaret's in Dublin to go up and talk about, you know, what makes a club successful. And the Corrafin secret is very easy to understand, because we have what they call a competition called the Raftery Cup. It's a competition between national schools, and there's about maybe 6-7 national schools involved, and that's played every year, and you could get 3,000 people at the final of that. I mean, there's fantastic interest in it. And
that's a parish league, is it?
Yeah, it's a competition between national schools, and it's open to boys and girls. If the girls are good enough, they can play. So from that then comes the Corrafin underage teams, and then they're coached then up along the line, and we have good people involved now. We have people that sort of, you know, it's not everybody we'd let loose on them. So we have good people, and we sort of keep them together from that, you know.
And, of course, recent All-Ireland success, the reigning champions. What's the feeling about this year's team?
Yeah, listen, the team is more or less the same as last year, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be as good as last year. But the only thing about it, Tom, is it took us, Mount Bellew in the county final really put us to the pin of our collar, because it went to a replay, and in the drawing game, we got a point in injury time to level it up. Now, Mount Bellew were an average enough side, and they made life very difficult for us. But you can understand it, because, I mean, this is their third Christmas where they've been training for an All-Ireland semi-final, so they've had no break in 3 years. And they were tired this year. I mean, I thought their display in Croke Park on Paddy's Day was probably the best I've ever seen from any club, never mind Corrafin. I thought it was a brilliant display of football, because Nemo had knocked out the Crokes, and you know, they had a bit of a reputation, and a Cork team is never a bad team, you know, but they were absolutely pulverised by Cardiff in that day. Now, they haven't produced anything like that form since, and yet the players are the same. So you put it down to sort of, you know, fatigue and tiredness, and, you know, as I say, they've had long campaigns. So the question is whether they'll rise to the challenge, because you really don't know. Like, Gador, like ourselves, our last game was the 2nd, I think around about the 2nd of December, and there's a few months in between, and a lot happens in those 2 months, and you just wonder what sort of team is going to show up in the month of February. And we've always had that problem year after year. Sometimes we show up good in February, other times we don't. Like, Cardiff Inn have won the Connacht Club 8 times in the last number of years, you know. So they used to be in semi-finals, but they've turned up in semi-finals, you know, completely flat. And then they've turned up sort of with a put on a performance, you know. So it's very much on the day. And, I mean, with both teams and looking at both teams and the talent in both teams, there's going to be nothing between them, and it's going to be a wonderful game, I think, for anybody wondering what they're going to do with their Sunday. Or is it Saturday or Sunday it's on?
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Anybody wondering what to do with their Saturday, they could do worse now than head up here, because they're going to see I think a super game.
Paul, look, it was great. Thank you indeed for taking the time out to talk to us. It was lovely to talk to you, and best wishes from everybody here.
Thanks a million, and the best of luck to the lads, and I hope they give a performance, because that's what, you know, when they do themselves justice.
And Joe Differ and Alan Boyd is still with us. They're going to leave us shortly. We're going to be joined by Emarchino Farry and Brendan O'Boyle. Brendan O'Boyle, who of course is the PRO of the club, and Emarchino, a former chairman and of course former county secretary as well, and highly involved in the club for a number of years. But first, Joe, I know you wanted to pay tribute to a man that's been honoured tomorrow night.
Yeah, I was a selector with him in the 70s.
With Brian McAniff.
And I just wish him well, and to congratulate him on this big event on Friday night, and say it's well deserved. No better man. And he's always a good Guidoor supporter too, I must say. Every time I meet him this last 2 years, he says, "Why aren't you boys winning the championship with that outfit?"
Yeah,
you know, well, he's very interested in the parish, and wish you well, Brian, if you're listening.
Yeah, that's the voice of Joe Differ. My thanks to Joe Differ and to Alan Boyd, and Sinn Kelly, of course, here with us as well. He's going to have a quick word with you in a couple of moments' time. We're just getting Brendan O'Boyle and Emarchino Farry in. And just, I suppose, our sympathy as well to the family of John Morrison in Armagh. John, of course, a former Donegal trainer. Who trained, was coached to the team when Mickey Moran was the Donegal manager way back in the early part of the noughties, and he died rather suddenly, I think. I'm not sure, but it came as a big shock. It was a young man, and our Yeshji Garawa Annam, certainly a big blow, and I know some of the Guidoor players, including Kevin Cassidy, are gone up to his wake tonight, and that's why Kevin isn't here. So our sympathies, as I say. But Oisin, you just have a quick word for us.
Yes, Tom, that's of course an exciting time for the club, and quite a few people listening in across the Northwest, and indeed online as well, and they've been texting the show. Say hi to Tom, and indeed good luck to everyone on Saturday, and to Joe and all the crew in Guidoor. And that is from Anton from the swimming pool, Joe.
Right.
And he said the wishes all the best. Also wishing Guidoor good luck from the GAA fans in our draft. Wishing the Guidoor team all the best. I know they will do good, and they have great players. And that comes in from Marion. And we've got one more here as well, Tom. Wishing Guidoor every success at the weekend. All the best in the game against Cora Finn. She says, "I'll be cheering them on in Ahiarn in County Tyrone. Good luck to them all from the McNamee household." That, of course, is Anne McNamee, Anne Ward, who's the mother of Ronan McNamee. Wishing Guidoor the best of luck. And I know everybody listening in, Tom, are all getting behind Guidoor this weekend against the All-Ireland champions.
Yeah, everybody's getting behind them, certainly. It's a great story. And, of course, another great story on the weekend as well is Mullinocta from North Longford, a half parish of of Gowna in Cavan. They're in the All-Ireland semi-final, the other All-Ireland semi-final. They're taking on Kilmacud Crokes. From what a day it would be if Gwydor and Mullinocta were to make it through to the All-Ireland final on St. Patrick's Day. I don't think Croke Park would hold them. But I'm delighted to say I'm joined now by Brendan O'Boyle, father, of course, of Dara O'Boyle, the man that scored the goals in the Ulster or against Cross Medlin that impressed Paul McGettigan. Brendan, good evening, Tato and Fáilte. And I'm also joined by E. Martin O'Farrey, of course, former club chairman and generally held quite a number of positions in the club, and also former county secretary. E. Martin, good night to you as well, and proud Gwydor men too.
Absolutely, Tom. It's a brilliant time to be involved in the GA in the parish at the minute. We've witnessed something in Gwydor in the last number of months that we haven't seen here in a lifetime. You learned earlier on about the three in a rows and the four in a rows and the heroes of times gone by. And we have 29 heroes at the minute, and 15 of them will be taken to the field in Carrick and Shannon on Saturday next. And it's something that we're very, very proud of as a club. And not alone will they be wearing the club jersey, Tom, they'll be wearing the county jersey and the provincial jersey, and that's something that we're very, very proud of as a club.
Yeah, and of course Brendan O'Boyle as well, obviously proud father as well. Dara playing a big part in it along with the rest of the young lads.
Oh yeah, it's a great buzz, especially with the lads now. They've been sort of, those younger lads have been together for years, going back to probably on their sixes, so it's a great achievement for them. And it's as they alluded to earlier, it's great to have the good blend in the team there from the young and old. So great buzz in the parish, and it's a fabulous occasion. So,
and of course you were highly involved in the coaching at underage, and now you're the PRO as well. So busy times for PROs and secretaries.
Oh yeah, it's been a mad, usually there's that nice quiet time of year, but it's been a mad couple of months there between paperwork and getting bunting, getting flags. And it's just been, it's a fabulous occasion for the parish. And I'd just like take this opportunity to thank your main sponsors there, Divers Hyundai and Siopa Vicky, and all the local businesses that got behind us, not even from the area, but even abroad in London, and that helped us out in the last couple of months. So Garamila Mahigat, Division League, how could you do?
Yeah, and what's the plan now for the team? Do they go down Saturday morning, or do they go down Sunday, or Friday night? Sorry,
they'll probably head down on Friday afternoon, so they'll probably
because it is an early start. It's a
Yeah, it is. Yeah, supposed to the game kicking off, or be throwing at 1:30. So they decided to go down on the Friday, so it'll give them opportunity to get sort of settled in that. And there's a few of the lads in Dublin, so they'll travel across from Dublin on Friday as well, and they'll all meet up down there.
And what's the mood? They're all in bed early these days.
Ah, they are, yeah, it's training away there, so there's a good buzz about it. And it's, I suppose it's all new to us, like this stage, so it's a learning curve, and I suppose that's the advantage Cara Finn are going to have. They've been through this quite a number of times, and it's going to take a big, massive game from the lads, like, but we're quite confident that hopefully they'll turn up on the day.
And Imarchin, do you take any confidence from our from the fact that Paul McGettigan was saying that Cara Finn are a tired team?
None whatsoever.
Is that a bit of propaganda?
We probably are going into the game as underdogs, and much has been said over the last week about the experience of Cara Finn, and that they're a seasoned team and they have a huge amount of experience, and they probably have that edge over Gwydor. But I suppose what a lot of people outside of Gwydor forget is that from 1 to 15, a lot of our players have played county football at either minor, 21 or senior level, and they probably have that same level of experience, maybe not to the same at club level. But as Brendan said there, we'd be quite quietly confident now. The team's performing very well, they're playing well. Mervyn has a very good setup there, and we'd be confident enough.
That's the final word. We'll leave it to E. Martin O'Farrey. Gwydor quietly confident heading to that All-Ireland semi-final against Cara Finn of Galway on Saturday. And of course, if you can't make it, you can hear the game live on Highland Radio with Oisín Kelly and Brendan Kilcoy, bringing you the whole game in live in its entirety from Park Sean McDermott. That's it for another week from the GA programme. My thanks to Pio McCann for lending us the extra half hour. My thanks to Jimmy Stafford back in studio. Also, my thanks to my guests tonight, Jimmy, Vicky Gallagher, Donald Breslin, Joe Diver, Alan Boyd, Brendan O'Boyle, E. Martin O'Farrey, and Paul McGettigan, who of course joined us from Galway. From me, Tom Cormack, O'Gian Shockton, the Hogan Slán, O'Gan Banner.